I'd like to turn in your Bible, if you would please, to the Gospel of John and chapter 12. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bow again the heart and the head in recognition of your personal presence, honoring who you are. God, thank you very much. So deal with us, deal with thy people across the face of the earth, deal with Israel. God, we're looking for you to honor yourself. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we came to chapter 12. Remember now, there's only four days he's going to be crucified. So we're in the last hours of his being there. Now, 4 days. Anyway, chapter 12, picking up, please, in verse 20. Remember, we shared together there were certain Greeks or Gentiles among them that came up to worship at the feast. Now, they're Greeks, literally, but Gentiles, it has to do with Gentiles, as opposed to Jews. The same came, therefore, to Philip, which was at of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew, and again Andrew, and Philip tell Jesus. And remember now the response. Here are the Gentile Greeks. Here's Philip and Andrew, and here's our Lord in the midst of all of activity. And he doesn't say welcome, he doesn't say anything. He just says one thing that is essential. And what he knew what they wanted. They wanted to see him. They needed to know him. They could see him, touch him, could never know him. He knew what their heart needed. That was what the Passover was all about. That God would provide a wonderful Savior. So now, in verse 23, he answers, remember, Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And remember, that had to do with his crucifixion coming up. It was the hour had come upon them that he had been looking for all of these 3 years, three and a third years. He's been looking for them. Looking for that hour. It's his time. It's his time to go to the cross. The garden and then the cross. Now, so that's what it's all about. You want to know me? You want to meet me? You want to understand me? You want to know why I'm here? You'll have to understand. You won't know any of the. You won't have any of that till I go to the cross. I have to go to the cross and die on the cross to make all of the wonderment that God has in mind possible. Thus, three illustrations. He uses three illustrations to say it, and in a different way. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. That's number one. Number two, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. So we shared that. So God, each one different. You have to understand. I have to die. You have to understand. You have to so identify with me. You can't hang on to this world. You can't hang on to here and now and expect to enjoy there and then. If you hold and cherish here and now, then you're failing to understand here and now is condemned already. It's already been judged. You must go to there and then. And if you hang on to here and now, you're going to lose out. If you love this world, the love of the Father isn't in you. Friendship with the world, etc. You can't do that. You've got to let the thing go. Don't hold anything too tight. You have it, hold it, use it. Don't hold anything too tight. Now the third illustration, which is where we were. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there may also shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So, the word if, remember, is a third class, it may or may not happen, third class condition. It may or may not be. If you may choose to serve me and you may not, let him follow me. So now, having said that, let him follow me. Follow me that where I am, they may be. And we share together in the light of that, little word serve, and the easy way to remember is remember the word deacon, a servant, deacon, to wait on tables, to serve the table. Think of a restaurant, but go beyond that. Waiting on the table, serving. What are your needs? Is there anything I can do for you? That kind of thinking. To give attendance, to give care, to give service. Whatever it is, I'm there for you. Now, that's the word. To serve. Now, in the light of that service, and that service is God. All of God's wonderful person in his wonderful creative work, all of it involves service. By that I mean service. There's a word slave, I don't mean that with this one. This one means waiting to serve, to give attendance to whatever the need is. Whatever the need is. Everything God has created is there to serve God, the Creator. Make sense? Everything he created is to serve God. Thus, in his creative creativity, in his wonderful person, our Lord is going to serve God. How are we going to make God known in his most wonderful way? God the Father is going to be served by God the Son. God the Son is going to be served by God the Holy Spirit. And that altogether, God and everything else, everyone else, including angels, the good guys and the bad guys, are there to serve God, to wait, to give attendance to his wonderful word and will and work, all that he wants, service, waiting on God, everybody. Now, and so the angels, as we'd read the word, would all serve God. They all serve God. The good guys and the bad guys are going to have to. And the good guys serve God, and then they serve you. Hebrews 1, 14. They minister, the ministering angels, and they're servants. They attend to God's will to serve believers, wherever they are, he serves. They have assignments. God gives them, and they fulfill the assignment. Wow. Now, and so it's not only angels, but and God the Son himself sets the pace. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew and chapter 20. Picking up, if I may, in verse 26. Matthew 20 and 26. But it shall not be so among you, for whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, your servant, waiting on tables. So who's ever great? How do you know they're great? They wait. They serve. Verse 28. Even as the Son of Man, our Lord Jesus Christ, came not to be served, unto, served, ministered unto, served, to be waited on, but to minister. He came to wait on God's will, not to serve people, to wait on God's will to outwork all of the good working will of God for humans, to work that all out. He came to bring all of the goodness and grace and greatness of God to humans. That's what he came. He serves. And who's greatest among you, let him be your servant. Now, and in the light of that, even as the Son, verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to minister to be ministered unto, but to minister to, minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So God, we got that. That's what you came for. So angels, everyone, anyone, everything is to serve God, is to wait on God. It's all for God. Think of Revelation chapter 1, the end of verse chapter 3, chapter 4, and chapter 5. All of it is for God's pleasure. It's all created. Everything is for God. So when we look for anything and everything, we understand God has created it for his honor and glory. So therefore, you would understand when you read elsewhere that God said, everything is yours. Do you see? It's all meant to serve the Father. And as family, you enjoy all that, everything, so that anything and everything in the world has to serve me. It's waiting on me. Bugs, germs, disease, all of that is sitting there, and I use it, and it serves my wonderful purpose and will. I allow it to happen, to outwork my wonderful will. Now, over to chapter 6. And in chapter 6, we're going to pick up, if I may, other word, serve, this is the word slave. Now, slave, and they say, remember Paul, the letters, Paul, a slave, a love slave. I'm to serve, I'm devoted, I'm God, I'm bought with a price, slave, bought with a price. I'm serving, aha. Chapter 6, the Lord speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, etc. Picking up, if I may, directly in verse 24. For no man can be serving two masters, two lords. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot do it. You are not able to do it. You're not able to do it. And the word, you're not able to serve, present tense, you're not able to be doing, you cannot serve God and mammon, what you're trusting in. You can't serve the two. You have to make a choice. You can't serve God and the system, the world system, to say it directly. You can't do that. You can't serve God. That's why it said, if you love your life, you'll lose it. You understand? You can't have both. You're going to let it go. That doesn't mean you don't live and you don't do everything. It just means you understand that everything here is in its relationship. Everything in time is related to eternity. Everything in time is related to God's saving grace and what he's going to do. So you can't serve two masters. You can't do it. It's impossible. You have to choose one. I got that part. All right, now, back over to John chapter 12. We reminded ourselves, we did that last time, but just to remind ourselves now, because I want to run the sequence together. If, and you may or may not, serve me, me. You need to serve me, the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to serve me. And if you're going to serve me, wait on me, be attending, wait on me, then you're going to have to go and understand and follow me. How could you possibly serve me if you don't follow me? Simple, maybe. How can I wait on the table? How can I wait on your table and serve you if I don't come to your table? If I never come to your table, I never talk to you, how am I going to serve you? He that cometh to me must seek me with all their heart. And thus, if you serve me, then let him follow me. Follow me. To follow him, we shared all of that together in looking at that wonderful, wonderful following, God. I need to follow you. That's right. And what you hear in John, easy. John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and in verse 2. I'll read verse 1 for the context. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude, crowd, of course, followed him. Followed, there's your word, followed him. Because they saw his miracles, which he did on them, that were healed. And thus, all the healings, and they all followed him for more. More of the same. More wonderment. Healings, feeding. They followed him. That's what they did. Now, here's this big crowd. Understandably. The crowds are like that. Someone stirs up the crowd, and they all run for something, or say something, or do something. And here they are following our Lord. Now, sliding over, if you would, to chapter 6, and picking up, if I may, in thought, chapter 6 and verse 063. If it is the Spirit that quickeneth to make alive, it is the Spirit that makes alive the flesh, which is dead. The flesh profits nothing. We just did that in Sunday school. Absolutely nothing. The flesh profits nothing. The law, it's unable. The law, all it can do is condemn us. The law is wonderfully given to understand it's not by any work that you do, anything you say, think, or want. It is impossible. It is utterly impossible to be right and get saved by anything in your heart or head, anything you could do, think, or say, or be. It's impossible. God, by faith, not by works. Law says not by works, but by faith. The law is given. Now, and thus, nothing of the flesh. Flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak, verse 63, unto you, they are spirit, they are life. They are full of life, like a germ, like a seed planted. They're loaded, the right environment, and they blossom, the words do. They're full of life. Thus, sliding down. Oh, I might as well read it quickly. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, etc. Verse 64. But there are some of you but that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should obey him, betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except the Father draw him, except that we're given him unto the Father draw him elsewhere. Verse 66. Now, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So here's this big crowd, and the big crowd all dissipates because he pins it down and starts telling them what's going to have to be. And they say, whoops, we don't mind the healing. We don't mind the food. We don't mind free everything. But if you want us to have to measure up to what you're saying and what you're after, we aren't interested. And they all disappear. Now, that's the context for verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you go away? Remember, here's the 12 that are left, including Judas. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. So we're very sure of who you are. Are we going to stop following you? No, we are not going to stop following you. So you're going to follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me. That's what you're going to do. And you're going to follow me. And in the process of following, where are you going to end up? Well, you're going to end up, you're going to follow me. John chapter 12, verse 23, you're going to have to go follow me to the cross. I'm going to go to the cross. You're going to have to end up there. Do you understand? And all you're going to back away. But then when I rise again, I'm going to make something wonderful happen for you. The Spirit of God is going to go and give you a wonderful movement to awaken your heart to all of the words and all of the truth. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and truth. They're going to come alive. And you didn't believe I would rise again the third day. But you will believe. You will realize all that I have said to you is truth. Reliable, wonderful truth. But you have to be saved. You have to wake up. The Spirit of God is going to do that. So now, and in order to find God, John 12 and 23, to the Gentiles, to the Greeks, to the Jews, you're going to have to find? You have to go to the cross. You want to find God? You want to meet God? You want to know God? Find yourself? You've got to go to the cross. You want to find out who you are and why you're here? You've got to go to the cross. You want to find out God and know God? You've got to go to the cross. Now, and God, you're going to have a wonderful, wonderful thing. And why am I going to go to the cross? Because that's where I'm taking you. And if you don't realize that I'm going to take you to the cross and pay the penalty, be the perfect Savior, perfect substitute, perfect satisfaction, perfect sacrifice. Do you understand? I'm going to be that for you so that you can be saved and know me. And you have to go to the cross and recognize I'm taking you. Follow me. If you want to serve me, you're going to have to go to that cross. Otherwise, you're dead in trespasses and sin. There's no way on earth you could serve me. You have to go to the cross. And thus, what are you saying, God? Chapter 12, 23, 24, 25, 26. I want you to understand you're going to have to go to the cross. And I'm taking you there. I'm going to die for your sin. The wages of sin is death. I'm going to pay the price for you. Not for me, for you. I'm the sinless Son of God. I'm going to pay for your sin. I'm dying on account of you. I'm paying the penalty, your punishment. I'm taking all of that on my own body in the tree. And therefore, when we go and do what? Well, we have the Lord's table, don't we? What's the Lord's table about? You do show forth the Lord's death until he comes. Always a death? Aha. Hang on. In Paul, when you go to Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, when you go to Corinth, a big cosmopolitan city, wow, wonderful opportunity. I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why? Because there's no way to get to God, know God, or have any benefit if you don't understand how to get to him. He took you to the cross, and he went and was buried and rose again. Now hang on, Romans, a little out of place, but Romans. Romans chapter 10. And please note, the gospel, Christ died according to the Scriptures, was buried according to the Scriptures, rose again according to the Scriptures. Now, why always the cross? Why are believers and the Lord speaking of the cross? Why not speak of the resurrection? No, it's because of the resurrection that we speak of the cross. How did we ever get to the resurrection? How did we get to life? By way of the cross, by way of his death, we get to his life. So where are we coming from? We're coming from knowing the Lord as our personal Savior And we give the wonderful testimony, Romans 10, 9, you know it, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And you'll notice, please, in verse 9, to believe in thine heart that he was crucified. No. You believed in your heart that he who was crucified for you rose again to make life possible. And you received him as your Savior. When you received him as your Savior, you had life, wonderful life. And where did it come from? It came from a risen Christ. How did you ever get it? Christ, I realized Christ died on the cross for me. And what are we going to do to help and share that? How on earth can you have eternal life, eternal life, eternal life? How can you truly be saved, saved, saved? Because he rose again and took me to the cross. And now being saved, where are we speaking from? We're speaking from not on the cross. We're speaking as a risen Christ that you've received as your Savior. And you're going to communicate that. And how do you communicate God's wonderful grace? He died. He died. Do you understand? And everyone, John chapter 12, verse 23, if you want to know me, Greeks and Jews, you're going to have to follow me to the cross. If you don't go to the cross, you'll never find me, never get to me. You can never have me. You can't do like the Protestants or Catholics and people do. You know, we're going to live a Christ life. So we want to read the Gospels and mimic Christ's life. Live like he did. You can't live like he did because you don't have the life he has. And to go, we're going to follow our works. We're going to do the good works like Jesus and come and be saved. Not so. Not so. It doesn't change. There's no way to have anything. Think of Sunday school. There's no way to have anything apart from him. None whatsoever. Therefore, we believe in thine heart. That's where we're coming from. And what do? We preach the Lord's death until he comes. Because that's what they need. There's no sense in giving, why is Genesis 2 this, and Ezekiel this, and big question. You need to get saved. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He was crucified for you. He took you to the cross. The penalty is paid. Get there, find yourself there, and you'll find yourself in the resurrection, and you'll find yourself able to receive and understand the wonderful benefit of being wonderfully, wonderfully saved. Now, having said that little bit, Romans, John chapter 12. John chapter 12, picking up if I may. Verse 26, if any man serve me, wait on me, then you have to be where I am. You got to follow me. And verse, where I am, there shall my servant be also. So if you're waiting on my table, as it were, I'm going to find you, and you've been some places like that occasionally, somewhere, not necessarily at Friendly's, but somewhere, and you'll find, and you've watched the person waiting on your table, and the person standing there, right? You've seen him? And the person's waiting, watching you, and waiting to see anything, water, anything you need, anything you spill, anything you do, they're waiting to serve you. Where I am, there you need to be also. And I'm on the cross. And that's the starting point. Now hang on, it's a wonderful thing. It's an awesome, you want to serve me. I won't be able to put it up tight. John chapter 12, verse 26. There shall my servant be also. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If it may or may not be true, if any man serve me, waiting on me, what's the benefit? Him, that person, man or woman, boy or girl, that's saved, serving with me, him will my Father honor. My Father will honor that person. Now hang on to that. Let's see if we can grab that quickly. My Father will honor. Wow. And the word honor, my Father's going to honor that person. To hold, to give a extremely wonderful high status. To give, to attribute, to estimate value. To make precious. To give an assignment to somebody of honor. The president and different, you gave, people give an assignment to be president, to be secretary, to be treasurer, to be, that's a prestigious assignment, to be something. That's an honor. It's an honor to be put in that place, to be using the Baptist thing, which we don't do. I don't want to do it either. You know, and the thing, you be up here, and you do whatever, and then if and I'm looking for people to relate to me, so I'm going to give a special down there to you, down there, and you come sit up here, and you over here, you come sit up here during my, while I speak, and everyone in the congregation is to note, you have been noted for honor. I have recognized you for something you've done for me, and here you are, honored. Now, we don't honor anybody, but God. Now, so here's the little word. My Father is going to honor. The benefit of waiting on me, on the Lord Jesus Christ, to serve the wonderful purpose of Jesus Christ, which is what? To exercise the life of our Lord Jesus Christ on planet Earth. To continue, he rose again from the grave. The only sign he's going to give him is the sign of the prophet Jonah. 3 days and three nights. My resurrection. The only thing I'm going to tell people, a miracle? Nope. The only thing they're going to see is that an empty tomb and a heart that is saved and that I occupy. They believe I rose again from the grave. And that's all I'm going to show the world. Our assignment is to represent our Lord Jesus Christ risen again from the grave by having life, his life in us, and we preach the Lord's death till he comes. Show that. Wow. Now, so honor. That's right. My Father will honor. Over, if you would please, to Matthew. If you would, Matthew chapter 27, you'll get the idea of it, I hope. It's a wonderful thing. Now remember, Judas Iscariot was one of the 12 you read in John 6, 67, etc. And he's one of the 12, and is he going to, where he's there, but he is thoroughly disappointed, disenchanted. The whole thing has not gone the way he expected. That's like in our country. People want it to go one way. No, we need to fix the way it's going. We need to fix it. Well, boy, that means fixing a lot of things. Well, we don't want to fix everything. That's the trouble. And the power block. Wow. Now, here's Judas. And Judas went out and betrayed our Lord, remember. And verse 6, 27, 6. And the chief priest took the silver pieces that he threw, Judas gave back to the priest, and said, it is not lawful for us to put them into the treasury because it is the price, there's your word honor, price, value, precious, because it's the price of blood. We paid blood money to betray. Judas was given money to betray his master, our Lord. That's what he did. And remember he said, how much do you, think of it back in the old Zechariah and all that, how much do you value the shepherd? The price of an ox gored, 30 pieces of silver. An ox gores hurts a man. And how much do you pay for that damage? 30 pieces of silver. How much do you pay for a slave, a servant? 30 pieces of silver. How much do you think the shepherd's worth? Judas, 30 pieces of silver. Wow. Thus, verse 9. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and then they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price, there's your little word, honor, price, precious, price of him that was valued, there's your word again, valued, valued, honor, worth, whom they of the children of Israel did value, there's your third time, precious, precious, honor. Boy, did we get it wrong. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, God, would you get it to us? John 5, may I go directly in the light of the context, verse 23. That all men, 5 and 23 of John, that all men should honor, there's your word, the Son. Even as they honor the Father, he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father that has sent him. You have to honor the Son in order to honor the Father. Four times is the word. Four times. Price, precious, honor. You have to honor the Son. If you serve me, follow me, my servant's going to be where I am. My servant honors me. Serves me. Serves my will. That's what we're saved for. To serve the life, to exercise the wonderful life of our Lord Jesus Christ on planet Earth. And that's what we're saved for. We aren't saved for some miraculous something. We aren't saved to save society. We aren't to save the family. We aren't doing that. We're to be wonderfully, wonderfully exercised in having a wonderful relationship to the Almighty God that we can know and honor Him and be available for whatever we do or eat or drink. To do it to what? To do it to His glory. Whatever you do, do it as unto me. Whatever you do. So wherever you go, you honor me. You bring life to the barbershop, to the grocery store, to the kitchen, bathroom. You bring life. Life. Work, home, school, play. Wow. Now, quickly, in the light of that. So now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior and have this wonderful life that God gives us because we recognize we're crucified with Christ, then this is all true now, chapter 6. And in verse 19, what know you not? 6 and 19, 1 Corinthians. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Oh, no, I'm not. But why not? For you are bought with a price. There it is. You're bought with a price. You're not yours anymore. That's important. You're not precious. No. You aren't precious, no. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So the body now belongs to God Almighty for do what He does. And chapter 7, and the word price in verse chapter 6, 20, you're bought with a price. Slide over to chapter 7, and may I pick up, please, in verse 21. Well, I can't even do that. Verse 22, for he that is called... He that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. He's free. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. For you are bought with a price. Be not ye servants of men. You're serving God. So I go to work and I serve Pratt and Whitney. Yes, you can do all that. That's fine. But actually, you're serving me, said God. Wherever you go, your vocation is now, Ephesians, I am your vocation. I'm the reason you're alive. I'm the reason you go to bed and get up. You have an advocation you're going to go, and you're going to go to Pratt & Whitney or wherever you go to work. But you are mine for my will as you go there, and you're going to go there, and you say, well, I got to do what they tell me to do. That's true, but you're free. Do you understand? You're serving them as a free man. You belong to me for my will at work, my will at home, my will in school. Do you understand? You're my servant. And you're my will in your marriage, my will in your family, my will. Different. Different. You're free. Now, I gotta move. I wish. Wow. Over to Peter. We're bought with a price. Wonderful, wonderful. And God, here we are. If I can, 1 Peter, chapter 1, may I go quickly to verse 18. We're bought, remember, we're redeemed not with silver and gold, etc. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The word precious, 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 precious. Honor. My Father will honor you. My Father will honor you. You are bought with the precious blood of Christ. Precious, precious. My Father will count you precious. Christ, His Son, is precious. Christ in you is precious. You are precious because you're bought with a price. You are His precious. You are precious. My Father will honor you and value you as precious. Without going there to Luke and 2:49 and that. You're in the Father's business. Our Lord at age 12 told everybody, do you understand? I'm in the business of my Father. And everyone said, I don't know. What's he talking about? I'm in the business of my Father. What are we in? The business of our Heavenly Father. At work, at home, at school, in marriage, in everything you do. And you do that as unto the Lord. And you do it in a healthy fear of God, picking up. Oh, well. Over, if you would. Chapter 2. Wow. God, here we are. And in chapter 1 Peter chapter 2, you would know. Picking up, if I can, a little word repeated, and you'll put it together, a little anyway, to get the wonderment of it. God is going to count you as precious. Do you understand? That's why he will say of his people, his servants, don't touch them, they're the apple of mine eye. Apple of the eye. The apple of the eye is the little black right in the middle of your eye that you see out of. That you see out of. And you don't touch that. And whenever anyone goes to touch that black, whoop! Don't touch the apple of mine eye. Respect mine eye. Don't touch him. Wow. Believe that. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed, rejected indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. I came to do the will of God, to serve the will of God, said the Lord Jesus, which required I must go to Jerusalem and die for the sin of the world. That's correct. Verse 5. He also is lively living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, that's our whole, we're alive. That's right. We're to serve God. We're in attendance upon God. So whatever we work, whatever we do it as unto the Lord. And God, if you have something special, then He does it. If he wants your hand attracted to somebody, he wants something to happen, he may have you fall down to something and you break your neck and have to go to the hospital. You go to the hospital because God wanted you to talk to the ambulance driver. And you would never talk to the ambulance driver if he didn't get you in the ambulance. How's he going to get you in the ambulance? You're going to have to break your neck. And God gets you in the ambulance. God, whatever, we're available. That's it. Wow. And that's precious to God, serving the Son of God. And when you serve the Son of God, wherever he is, here, right in present, and in your heart, I serve him. I serve the living God, my only Savior. And in verse 6, chapter 2, verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion the chief cornerstone, elect and precious. There's your little word, precious. And honor. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. No, we're resting in the wonderful person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, unto you, therefore, which believe, that's us, he is precious. He is precious, that's right. Unto them which don't believe, disobedient, they don't believe. The stone which the builder disallowed, they rejected. The same is made the head of the corner. The world rejects, God chooses. He's precious to God. He's precious to us. And thus we serve him, we follow him close. He and us and us in him, we're there. We can't get closer. We're there all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And what are we going to do? We're going to be available for all that he has and wants and wishes. And we're just going to relax, and you're going to eat your lunch and whatever you eat to the glory of God. You're going to do whatever, and you're ready. And if God has something in particular in mind, you aren't going to complain, mumble, and grumble. You're going to be on your toes, trusting, looking to God. And then you're going to see how it goes to work itself and how it's going to go. And God, you know. God, you know. Every day doesn't have to be a big, big falling off a cliff adventure. Most days are boredom. You eat, drink, sleep, blow your nose, and that's it. I mean, what do you do? Very simple. But every now and then, God has something in mind, and you're waiting, like the waiter, waiting, watching the table for whatever needs to be done. Isn't that great? Well, that's a special place when you find that. Wow. Wow. Now, God, and if you follow me and honor me, attend me, my Father will honor you. My Father will honor you. Precious. So when you sit there and you're all alone and say, I don't do anything and nothing much, hold it. Do you realize if you're truly saved, and you just get your eyes straightened out looking and get with it, how precious you are. That's why we can say all things work together for good, accidents and all kinds of things. Not so anymore. Not for the believing heart. No, sir. No germ, no pain. Nothing. Except in your will. For your glory. I'm here, God, to serve. And in closing, you'll remember, we used it last time in part, and I didn't find it, but I remember most of it. Remember Harry Truman, when he took over the White House, and in the process of taking over as he became president, and the all the different people in and out, and he asked, I think it was Hopkins or whatever the guy's name was, and they the people coming in and out that worked for the president, President Truman. They going in and out and all that stuff, and everyone and always the fellow was there, standing there, right around, and where Harry Truman was, wherever Harry Truman was, that guy went, and he never seemed to do anything or say much. He was just there, and they inquired about him, who he, what does he do, what's his purpose, what secretary is he, secretary of what. Is he what dignity? Is he a watchman, a security guard? No, 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 no. He's one person. Everyone that comes in my office wants something. This man wants nothing. He just wants to serve me. That's all. That's why he's there. God found a man, a woman, boy, a girl that was available for all that God would make available. God, you tried to help the Greeks and the Gentiles and the Jews. You're trying to help them. You've got to go to the cross, he said. Do you understand? And if you don't go there, nothing's going to happen. You can sit in church for the next in a religious center. You can have a holy hat and holy cross and with a white robe, a purple robe, and all the things. It won't do one thing for you. Not one thing. I'm just looking at you. And if you honor my son, I will honor you. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness. And God, here we are stumbling along. So deal with our heads and our hearts. It's an awesome, wonderful, wonderful just being alive, God. We just got to get the reason, the justification for it isn't to serve us or the system. It's to know you, the living and only God, and to honor you, to allow you to be the God in our life. God, who is a strong God, like unto thee, no one. Who is a straight God, who is able to go and be merciful and gracious. Who cares about us? Who created us? You did the whole ball of wax. God, thank you very, very much for all of it. We're looking to you to deal with us. And for those who know you not as their Lord and Savior, for them to receive you as their Lord and Savior. God, that's what you're looking for, to receive who, the precious one that you have honored, that they, in turn, might become very precious to you. And our Father, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. Perhaps we could sing, please, a stanza. Number 32 in the Gold Book, number 32. Thank you for your patience in sitting there.